Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoos and ACC fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood.
Good evening.
Hope you had a great Easter Hobbo.
I did. Got some Reese's eggs, always popular with Hobbo.
Yeah, figures you're thinking food all the time. Zacharias Ganey would not be happy with that.
I know, that's true. That's true. I just got them. I don't eat them. I just look at them.
Trust me, I think I set a record for most grills with and cheeseburgers off the grill. The combination of the two.
You get a day off from even ZG on Easter Sunday. You get a chance to eat a little chocolate bunny or whatever.
Anyhow, welcome everyone. Hope everyone had a great Easter. For the Wahoo basketball team, no trip to the Madison Square Garden. But the NIT run was fairly successful overall, and I think the younger players really came into their own late in the process. UVA football commitments, five-star safety, Quinn Blanding, and a four-star offensive lineman, Stephen Moss, sort of brighten the horizon as UVA is going through spring football right now. The number 9 UVA baseball team is now the number 5 UVA baseball team. They managed 2 of 3 wins versus Miami and sent the Hurricanes home with their tails between their legs, winning 2 out of 3. How about them Hoos? The number 1 UVA men's tennis team slammed a VPI 7-0. And then they pounded Boston College 7-0, right, Hobbo?
That is absolutely the case, yes.
And how many consecutive ACC wins, is that for UVA?
97.
Who's counting?
Which is mind-boggling. that's dominance.
There's
no doubt about it. Brian Bolin, hopefully we'll have him on the show in one of our special shows. We'll have more about that later, but certainly Brian Bolin and I think the Hoos are poised to finally get that hardware at the end of May.
Absolutely. Anyhow, we're glad that you've joined us, and I understand we have Dan from Chesterfield the line. Dan, you got a comment or a question tonight?
Real quick, before my question, well, two questions, and I don't want them to take offense if it's after, but I was wondering, Hobbo, did you play before Wally Walker or after or with him?
With. He was a couple of years behind me, but he was a teammate of mine.
Were you on that 76?
No. I had graduated by 76, so I was not on the ACC title team, but Wally and I did have some overlap there when he first got to school.
Okay. All right. Well, my question, guys, and I'm very proud of all the sports teams, basketball, and like you guys were saying, the tennis and, the baseball, and the Hoos are doing good. I'm just curious. I've been kind of baffled, and you may not have a good explanation or any inside scoop, but I'm just wondering, and maybe I had overestimated his ability, or maybe there are a lot more factors. But anyway, I thought when Phil Simms got in the program, having been the top high school quarterback recruit in the country, and, of course, being signed by Alabama and, figuring that Saban doesn't miss on much talent, that, he come into Virginia and just set the world on fire. Now, of course, I know he's had several different systems and that kind of thing, but I wonder if there's something else more going on, because I just don't believe that Saban would miss that bad on talent. And maybe it's, personal issues, which, obviously none of my business, but I just thought I'd see what you guys, what you know about the situation with him.
Actually, Dan, I've got some scoop for you and our listeners. Did a little research today and over the weekend, and apparently it's been a uniform coach's decision between the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and Tom O'Brien. The three of them have come to that conclusion. So We all know what Mike London's rules are. You know, you've got to succeed.
Now, you're talking about the conclusion to move him to third on the depth chart.
Correct.
Yeah.
We are talking about Phillip Sims.
Right.
Number one, Coach London has always had rules, rules about the classroom, rules about being a good community citizen, and also being someone that excels in the sport that they're playing, which in this case is football. In essence, Sims has fallen behind in one or more of these categories, and it is an open quarterback competition. And you may recall earlier this year, well, actually it was last year, Aaron Brooks had some very interesting comments about David Watford. And apparently David Watford has come a long, long way. His accuracy has improved on his passing. We always knew he was the fastest quarterback in the program, and he is a dual threat. There's no two ways about it. On top of that, Grayson Lambert throws a tight spiral and has a good command of the offense. And I think there's a movement away from just anointing a quarterback who transferred in from Alabama or any other place else.
Well, and as you and I talked today, Saban also let Sims go. Maybe he didn't have much choice in that, but sometimes a coach can discourage someone from transferring. So it's an interesting development over in Charlottesville. And as you say, I think there's some things going on behind the scenes, but I'm sure the coaches know what they're doing.
Quickly, we need to do a couple housekeeping things. First off, we are delighted to have Ortho Virginia's Jody Smith joining us later in the program. Dr. Smith and Ortho Virginia have been tremendous sponsors of Who's Talking, and we are going to bring him on in the second segment, get caught up on a few injury notes. Also, the Sabres' Chris Wright, the editor of the Sabre, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to discuss football a little bit more in depth. There's a number of ways that you can follow our show, and Hobbo is going to take his turn tonight.
Absolutely. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to post comments via Facebook, search Who's Talking, and become a fan of the show. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. You can call the show, as Dan just did, at 345-0910 with a question or a comment. And we also encourage listeners and fans to download the iHeartRadio app to listen live on their smartphone, computer, or iPad, whatever device you have. And it really is, it's amazing technology. It comes in crystal clear wherever you are around the globe, as they say. If you're traveling and you want to listen to the show, you still got the option right there with your iHeartRadio app.
All right, Hobbo, the UVA basketball team, let's give a quick summary of the season, and they're winning 2 out of 3 in the NIT, and just how is Virginia poised for next season?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of talk about next year. I think from the NIT standpoint, the one positive of that has been the development of Justin Anderson. I mean, he had a terrific tournament in the NIT, and I think he showed some signs of what he's going to be like next year and beyond. I think he's going to be a real factor for the Hoos. Joe Harris, to some extent, maybe a lesser extent, Akeel Mitchell, they may have hit the wall. As you and I discussed, it seemed like Joe Harris, he spent it all in the Duke game where he had the 36 points, and then after that didn't play as effectively during the last two or three regular season games, and also in the NIT and the ACC tournament for that matter. But it's a long season.
Quick defense on that. I would say the 35 games this year, starting with that trip to Europe.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're starting practice in the summer and you're still playing at the end of March. That's a long grind.
And, you know, for these kids, that was probably the longest season any of them had ever faced.
Well, particularly for the first-year kids, because they certainly had never seen anything like that prior to college. And I think even for the veteran players. And I think, you know, the Virginia, you look at Joe Harris, offense and defense. You know, if you're playing defense, you know, in my day, I used to rest a little bit on the defensive end. You don't do that with Tony Bennett. You're expending a lot of energy on the defensive end and on the offensive end. I mean, Joe Harris was a marked man, particularly in the ACC. I mean, everybody was trying to shut him down. And the poor guy, I mean, he was running back and forth on the baseline trying to get open behind picks and just expending an unbelievable amount of energy. He's got to be in terrific shape. But I think the future is really bright for next year. some questions with regard to some players, and that may be something we want to ask Chris Wright as well.
Well, let's talk about the potential lineup for next season and why I am incredibly bullish about this team next year, new additions to the ACC notwithstanding. Because let's face it, three really good teams are coming in. But you know what? To heck with them. I think Virginia is for the first time in a very long time, will be too deep. Let's face it. This team,
they'll have depth, and they'll also have players on the floor that could score. Right now, and I could be wrong because I'm wrong quite often, but I would assume Brogdon, Anderson, Harris, Gill, and Mitchell will be the starting lineup next year. And if that's the case, you're putting five guys on the floor, all of whom could be double-digit scorers. You know, the problem that Bennett's had in his first two or three years is with Jontel Evans and Will Sherrill and a few others. I mean, we've had teams where we've had two or three guys on the floor at a given time that weren't necessarily offensive threats, which makes it really difficult for the other guys on the squad, witness Joe Harris this year and Mike Scott last year.
All right, so hold on. Let's go back and look at your team. You say you've got Anthony Gill.
Akil Mitchell.
Yep.
Harris, Anderson, and Brogdon. I think I think the two freshmen coming in as point guards – I think it's a lot to expect that they're going to be so good that they're going to be able to crack the starting lineup right away. And if Brogdon's healthy, you got to put him in there somewhere.
Well,
are you going to sit Harris or Anderson down?
Well, it's interesting. I think a couple things. First off, Bennett could go with the traditional lineup and put Toby in at center, and then move Mitchell to the four, which is his natural position, and then Harris at three. Brogdon, to me, is your super sub coming into the game.
Who's your point guard?
Well, I think one of these guards, Parentes or Hall, is really your point guard.
I haven't seen them play. I don't know how good they are, but I still go with the old Al McGuire philosophy that the best thing about a freshman is they eventually become a sophomore.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's true, too.
And Brogdon, you know, he's a proven guy. Now, can he handle full court pressure? I think our producer engineer, Jesse, here, he's a VCU guy, and I think there's an indication that Virginia's going to play VCU next year, so they better be able to handle pressure when they play teams like VCU.
That's another interesting point. I think this unit will be better adept at dealing with the press.
Well, I think so, just because they're more experienced.
Plus, there'll be more height on the floor, and the passing will be easier. Let's face it, when two 6'4", 6'3 guys crowded Jontel, he was in trouble.
And the other thing, I'd be the first to admit, I'm talking about Gill from the standpoint of what I've heard. I have not seen him play. I have seen Mike Toby play, and you could be exactly right. I mean, Mike Toby is certainly going to challenge for a starting position. And if he's in there, he's certainly another guy that can go out there and score. It's just a question of how much physical development he'll have in the offseason. But, you know, there again, I mean, you still got Evan Nolte, you got Mike Toby. You have Taylor Barnett. You got Tevin Jones. Who else am I? Darian Atkins. I mean, as you say, they've got a lot of depth both inside and on the perimeter. So you just have to be excited next year, but you still got to go out and do it on the floor and make sure the team chemistry is right and all that good stuff. But I think there's probably more room for optimism relative to the next basketball season than we've had in a long time.
All right, we're agreed on that point. I'm going to say it right now. If Virginia is not in the Sweet 16 next year, I'll eat my hat.
Well,
that's an old saying, right?
You would hope, because they certainly are going to have the personnel. Once you get into the tournament, it's kind of a crapshoot, and a lot of that is matchups and things of that sort.
I mean,
but they're certainly going to have the personnel to get to the Sweet 16, maybe deeper than that in the tournament.
Well, they're going to have the personnel. All right. Jesse's telling us we got a minute to go. Let's do real quickly, Habo. Let's jump in and knock out the LeClaire Ryan play of the day.
All right. Go for it.
All right. We've selected the men's baseball game on Saturday versus the University of Miami. The formerly number 9 ranked Wahoos overcame an early Hurricane lead of 1-0 to rack up 11 hits and 4 runs in the 8th inning, and they pulled away for an impressive 8-1 victory. Who's won the series. In fact, they've won every ACC series to date. They now have a 9-3 ACC record, and they're 26-3 overall and ranked fifth in the nation and climbing like a bullet. Huge start for Brian O'Connor's young Wahoo baseball team. This team is clearly a year ahead of schedule.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people thought this was a rebuilding year, and I think Brian O'Connor's reached the point where he reloads. He doesn't rebuild.
I tell you, Carl Kuhn and Kevin McMullen, three of the best coaches in all of college baseball, and now they've got terrific young talent. And even on Sunday when they put together like 13 hits, they didn't win the game, but they left the bases loaded twice, and that's rare this season. This season they've been pushing those runs across. I'm thinking this team may fool everybody, and they could end up in the College World Series.
You would certainly think so. I mean, if they're ranked in the top 10 right now, fifth, they got every opportunity. At any rate, we're going to go to break right now. Stay with us. We got Dr. Jody Smith on the other side with a little bit of a injury report update on the Hoos and anything else we want to talk with the good doctor. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.